Blog Talk Radio.
The following presentation is a production of God Allows U-Turns, There's Life After Drugs, Lagoon, Florida.
God Allows U-Turns, There's Life After Drugs. I'm your host of the Eyewitness, Del Garrett. Also with me tonight, my co-host, Sarah Beth. So before I begin our show, I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors who make our shows possible each week. The Shores Treatment and Recovery Program is located in Port St. Lucie, Florida. They treat the clients as a whole person, for they know that the mind, body, and spirit are all delicately intertwined. At the Shores, you're not treated as a billing number or a diagnosis, but rather as a whole person whose life has a meaningful story. Now, at the Shores, each client has their own complex and unique needs, so we personalize our treatment programs for the client. For we know that the cookie-cutter approach doesn't offer the best chance of recovery. Relaxation and recreation are the key elements at the Shores, for it's well known that having fun during treatment releases endorphins and aids in relaxation. Here at the Shores, our location near the beach offers the perfect environment for detox and rehab. Having personal service is also a key factor, and we also value modern, clinically advanced treatment. Not only do we keep up on all of the new techniques, our expert staff continues training throughout their time at the Shores to make sure that they are up to date as possible. Treatment options offered at the Shores include medical acupuncture, neurotransmitter replacement therapy, chiropractic care, neurofeedback massage therapy, EMDR, 12-step spiritual programs, play therapy, art therapy, music therapy, life skills classes, and more. Perhaps the most important part about the Shores Treatment Recovery Program is the community we have fostered between our staff and the clients. A team of highly qualified addiction specialists are able to offer personalized treatment by keeping small caseloads. Team members have several areas of technical specialty, and continued training keeps our skills sharp. However, without our clients, our community would be incomplete. Our clients come from a broad spectrum of backgrounds with diverse life stories. So at the Shores, you can count on finding a welcoming community in which to grow, develop, and get healthy. For further information, please contact our admissions office at 772-577-0078. Or you can click on the link at the bottom of the post, and it will take you directly to the Shores.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be discussing the deadly drug heroin, which is sweeping our country at an alarming rate. What I'm going to do tonight is introduce you to an ex-heroin addict. Unfortunately, the reason that he's an ex-heroin addict is that this deadly drug has taken his life at a very young age, and his mother has allowed me permission to share this in hopes of bringing awareness to the dangers of this so it may save someone's life. Now, at the very beginning of this tale, I will say is completely fictitional, as I was led by the spirit to include this in his story. But just so you're aware, once his mother begins to speak, this is all a true accounting as it was told by her. So if you will, please, now I'm going to ask Sarah to lead us in a word of prayer before we begin.
Father God, we come before you tonight as your servants, as your children, Father God. Lord God, I just pray a special blessing and anointing upon this message. Father God, Dale and I submit to your will and to your plans. And Lord, I know that your plans for your people are for the good and to prosper. Father, I ask that wherever your message is to carry this evening, that you move our lips and our hearts in alignment with your word and your will. And that as a mother, I have a heart, and the Dale as a father has a heart, Lord, and our hearts are first for you. And through the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that through this message there may be a reaping and a victory in the kingdom, that the chains of addiction may be cast down, broken, and souls may be set free into the glory of the kingdom that you have. Father God, prepare the hearts of the people you have to hear this message. Ready and equip them with the message that you speak to them. Father God, we praise your glorious name for the honor and opportunity to be with you this evening, to share with you in intimacy the truth, the way, and the light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Todd, and I'm a heroin addict. I'm sorry, I know no other way to introduce myself than by telling my whole story. Stating my name, and then my addiction has become a way of life, and will continue to be a way of life because 5 years ago, my life took a radical turn off course. Growing up the oldest, my life even included a beginning was almost not a reality. My parents met at a party after high school. Dad was home from his 4 years in the Marines, and Mom was working a job and going to school part-time at a community college. Now, as the story goes, they were attracted to each other and ended up going out after that first chance meeting at the party. My mom was the eldest of five children and desperate to leave her homestead of watching and raising the other four kids and her parents' highly conservative ways. Her mother had pressured her to be the second mom, and this just infuriated her. She couldn't get out of her home life fast enough. Now, my dad, he just wanted to cut loose after seeing the drama that had unfolded during the Vietnam War. Now, he wasn't injured, however. He did lose one of his closest friends during an attack. Dad suffered from PTSD, or what's better known as post-traumatic stress disorder.
He was full of anger and also had a mixed up life growing up. His mother and father were constantly going through money struggles. Dad's sister suffered an eating disorder and died at a young age of 17. There was a constant flow of anger, hostility, and depression that seemed to hit their family. When Dad was behaving bad, his mom would lock him in the closet for hours at a time. He was never seen right, it seemed. Yet Mom tried occasionally to encourage him. Dad went from job to job and moved the family from state to state. This meant a continuous barrage of new schools, money troubles, several times of no food on the table, and feeling guilt for being in a family where you were not wanted. Now, I mentioned that I almost did not even get a start in life. My mom became pregnant with me soon after my parents started dating. Dad was filled with the animosity towards his own childhood and certainly didn't want to make the same mistakes for me. He also wanted to live a little. He had pressured my mom to end the pregnancy. Despite his continued threats and pressures, she wouldn't end it. The family even laid pressure on Dad to man up and take his responsibilities. My dad decided to do the right thing and marry Mom. I ended up with a sister and two brothers. Even though we were a big family, happiness was sparse and despair seemed to prevail. Fortunately, I was able to pull great grades in school. Well, I guess I should say the many schools I attended. At the young age of 10, I had a bike and a paper route. Waking up early was a necessity as customers had to receive their paper before I could head off to school. By the age of 13, I was bussing tables and had to pay rent of $75 to share a room with my two other brothers. Dad was the one that came up with this arrangement, which I had to accept. I learned one thing very early in life. You don't mess with Dad, and you definitely don't argue about it. I could go into story after story where I decided to try and stand up to Dad. My butt was red every time from the belt, and my self-esteem was at an all-time low. My only hope was to escape this life and make it on my own. Mom and Dad stayed married for 21 years. I say that with hesitation because the life that they had was one of convenience. It was cheaper to stay married than to get a divorce. But for all practical purposes, they should have never come together. It was a horrible union. One of my co-workers at the restaurant where I bussed had an uncle that needed caregiving. He was in his late 60s and was waiting hip surgery. My friend knew that I hated my living situation and had a solution for me and his Uncle Jerry. His uncle was living by himself in a three-bedroom home, and he had plenty of room for me to live with him in exchange for me helping him recover from surgery. I made food, grocery shop, drove him to appointments, and we grew to become friends. Life was looking up as I was no longer a slave to my dad, nor the recipient of his spiteful tongue and physical abuse. But Jerry had a bad habit of which I was not aware. I'm not really entirely certain that it would have changed my mind, however. Jerry was a heroin addict, and he also sold the drugs. Now, it wasn't his main form of living, but he did it in exchange for the drugs so he was able to keep it low-key. When we would hang out, we would talk about our lives and past lives. Jerry would casually bring out the bent spoon and needle, and he would get high. Now, to the outside world, one would never presume Jerry would be into drugs. He looked like the guy that pretty much had it together. Once you were in the circle, as I was, you soon saw that Jerry was living a lie. It was only a matter of time before Jerry was offering me heroin. Now, I had made my escape from my previous life. For once, everything seemed like it was going to be okay. But I didn't want him to think I would rat him out, and I didn't want him to send me packing. So I did it one time. And, of course, one time became another time, until I was looking forward to coming home from work just so I could feel whole again. It grew out of control so fast I did not even see it coming. Soon I was feeling invincible and was even using before work. One day, it all ended. I drove to work as high as a kite, as they described it. I remember listening to the radio, and then blackness surrounded me.
I hit a small tree and was placed in the hospital for 12 days. The accident caused some swelling of the brain, a broken arm in two places, and a broken collarbone and several ribs. To put it lightly, I was a mess. Long story short, I was released from the hospital but still had to appear in court several times. I was put in prison and then had to fulfill a court-mandated rehabilitation stint. My dad never spoke to me since, and I moved out, and my mom worked to rebuild our relationship. She broke away from my dad, and they divorced. I can't tell you how stupid I was and how much I struggled with feeling deserving for this second chance. I grew up hearing how worthless I was, and I wouldn't amount to a pile of you-know-what. It was difficult hearing that my mom loved me and that we would get through this together. I guess I always knew she was trapped in a loveless marriage and forced to, at such a young age of being a kid, having a kid. I'm still working through life situations and circumstances, but compared to where I was, I've progressed. I still have a long way to go, and my mistakes have just made them that much longer. But I will get there eventually. Heroin is just another drug that is addictive. It comes from morphine and typically appears as a powder that is brown or white. Some of the street names of this drug include smack, junk, H. The use of heroin is becoming increasingly popular. Unfortunately, heroin is a serious issue here in America. Just like any other abused drug, heroin also has a serious implications, which include death from overdose, unplanned abortion, veins that collapse, and especially in those users that get the drug via injection, diseases that are infectious like hepatitis and HIV and AIDS. Some immediate effects produced by abuse of heroin happen almost immediately after one dose. The effects go away after a few short hours following heroin injections, and the common feeling that is reported is rushes of euphoria with warm skin flushes, extremities become increasingly heavy, and the mouth is dry. After this initial euphoria phase, the user becomes bridged between states of being drowsy and wakeful. The mental capacities become less functional because of the CNS or central nervous system being depressed. Heroin, over the long term, produces effects which will reveal themselves following repeated use over the course of a good amount of time. Infections to the lining of the heart and its valves and veins that collapse, cellulitis, skin infection that is due to bacteria, the disease of the liver and abscesses happens when tissues are infected, causing the immune system in the body to try to fight it. Some pulmonary issues which can manifest are different kinds of pneumonia. This is due to the inadequate health condition of the drug user. In addition to respiration being depressed from heroin, women that abuse heroin during pregnancy often do not seek prenatal care, because the babies often suffer from adverse consequences like birth weight that is low. This is often seen later in life with the baby having developmental delays. In addition to these effects of heroin, street heroin can also contain additives which do not dissolve readily, therefore resulting in blood vessels that become clogged. These vessels lead to important life-sustaining organs like the brain, lungs, kidney, or liver. Infection can occur or even possibly death of tiny bits of cells found in organs that are vital. As addicts use heroin regularly, they build up a tolerance. The addict must then use more in order to feel that same strength of effect. Using increased doses over-establishes a physical dependence, plus the addiction forms. When there is a physical dependence, the individual body becomes adapted to that drug being present, and therefore, symptoms of withdrawal may occur if the drug is not being used or even reduced. Regular abusers can feel the effects of withdrawal even a few hours following the last drug administration. This can produce a host of symptoms like craving drugs, sleeplessness, pain in the muscle and bones, inability to sleep, vomiting and diarrhea, goosebumps with cold flashes, thrashing or kicking movements, plus other symptoms. These withdrawal symptoms become major symptoms at the 48 to 72 hour mark following the final dose of the drugs, and eventually subside approximately 1 week's time. Now, for the heavy user that is in poor health,
their sudden abstinence from the drug can be fatal. There are many varied reasons individuals turn to drugs. Most commonly, however, drug use allows that sought-after euphoric feeling which makes one feel better, even though it's temporary. Many reasons, even hundreds of reasons, exist as to the ways in which drugs play that coping role for dealing with life. And each individual possesses their own reasons why they turn to one certain drug or another. Drugs are instrumental in calming someone down, giving energy, allowing one to overcome their shyness, and prevent feelings of loneliness. Drugs can make an individual feel bolder and even execute risks that they would not typically take. They are often utilized to help someone feel they fit into various social situations and take on that party mood for celebration of those occasions which are happy. In medical uses, drugs are utilized in pain alleviation, assisting with sleep, difficulties, lowering anger levels, suppressing anxiety, and depression avoidance. Drugs can also be used for increasing sex desires, lowering weight, and dealing with stress. Many individuals report that their drug use began in response to peer pressure. In their world, others around them were experimenting and using drugs. So in order to feel socially integrated, they started using drugs as well. The effects of drugs for everyone are countless. These reasons start being accepted when drugs are considered a cure-all for our illnesses and an outlet for overcoming the hurdles life throws our way. If it was as simple as that, drugs might be thought of as a type of wonder drug. This is where the rubber meets the road as thinking becomes somewhat skewed. Individuals start to yearn for that euphoric feeling resulting from drug use, and that is the moment drugs become an issue. The vicious cycle can begin where you do not want to live absent from that euphoric feeling from drugs, and that you are unable to deal with life without those drugs. This cycle is what produces the addiction. When drugs are utilized, problems can rise rapidly. Being addicted can become a fast reality. It's imperative that you look at your drug use while being honest and true to yourself, and determine if that drug use of drug or drugs has evolved into a problem. Simply begin by taking a moment with yourself and asking a question. Are there times you consider yourself to have a drug problem? And if you answer yes, an addiction issue is probably happening. Why? A majority of the time, a problem is denied by drug abusers, or an effort is made to create excuses, therefore hiding from it. The innate reaction is defending your behaviors and yourself. These defenses would naturally fall down at one time or another. Therefore, if you consider yourself to have a problem sometimes, it's almost certain that you do have a problem. Think of those times in the morning and how you felt following heavy use. The guilt you experienced for overusing, the clouded mind, the pain in your body, and the continual promises you make to yourself that you will banish this habit. You make a decision to abstain that day. Inside, emotions of feeling broken and beating abound and want you to make a positive change. You are susceptible to your own rational thoughts and your defenses are not up. Now, as the day continues, however, those broken defenses begin to surface once again and excuses start to flow for the prior day's binge. Excuses start to justify your own overindulgence, like you did it because you were in the midst of a bad day. You were experiencing a great deal of stress and so forth and allow yourself, just a little, because after all, yesterday was just a bad day. Today's going to be different. The vicious cycle continues. This cycle may continue hundreds of times prior to your recognition of a pattern. That is happening. The majority of drug abusers experience this cycle when the blatant facts are staring you right in the face. So, how are you able to identify it? The answer to that question is quite simple. Your problem is the problem when you use too often, too much, and there is no control. Now, of course, illegal drugs should never have been touched, but the judge of the situation needs to be yourself. And in doing so, you need to have honesty with yourself. Look closely at your feelings. Perhaps writing those feelings down regarding your drug use can be helpful, too. When the problem is facing you head-on, by reading what you have wrote, you can begin to help yourself. Now let's examine some questions which can assist you in identifying whether you have a drug problem.
Now, I want you to honestly answer each of the following questions. Have you ever felt the need to lower your use of drugs? Have you ever utilized drugs during your alone time? Have you ever utilized a more sizable amount of drugs than you were intending on using in any given period? Have you ever utilized drugs for a greater period of time than was your original intention? Have you ever utilized multiple drugs, or even more than in one setting? Have you ever been told you were utilizing too much drugs? Have you ever tried to overcome one drug's effects by taking another? Have you ever considered that your life would be better if drug use was not present in your lifestyle? Have you ever experienced the emotions of guilt or anger over your drug use? Did you make it a habit to turn to drugs during certain events or even times of the day? Have your friends or family members ever been lied to by you regarding your use of drugs? Have you ever falsified your symptoms or been dishonest with a doctor in order to receive prescription drugs? Have you ever participated in the act of stealing drugs? Have you ever stolen material items for the purpose of selling to have money for drugs? Okay, now, if any two of the above questions were answered with a yes, this is an indication that you have a drug problem. And if three were answered with a yes, chances are there is a drug problem. And if you answered four of them with a yes, guess what? You definitely have a drug problem. Now, this test, however, is just simply a tool, okay? Drugs become addictive when more and more are required in order to achieve the same effects, and you begin to feel that you cannot function without that drug. You may have attempted to quit. However, the symptoms of withdrawal become too great, so you are continue to using the drugs. An additional way to determine if you have a problem with a drug addiction is to take time to write things down once again. It's crucial that you be brutally honest with yourself as you answer these questions. Look back into the beginning of your drug or alcohol addiction. Make a list of each alcoholic drug individually and then trace your life pattern. At what age did you begin and at what point did you increase each drug's frequency or quantity? This information will reveal if you have raised your tolerance, plus if you have become drug dependent. Take a look at your health physically. Make a list of any effects or accidents which it may have been associated with the use of drugs or alcohol. Think of the comments you have received from others and your effect on them due to your addiction of drugs or alcohol. Did you ever miss any birthdays or promises broken by you? List each occasion and account for the effects which you remember. Think and list each of the times you were careless with your actions which jeopardized your safety and the safety of others. Make a list of actions you would not take if drugs or alcohol were not present. Think about your sex life. Did your alcohol or drug addiction allow you to have sex with strangers? Did you engage in risk your health like sex that was unprotected or failure to use birth control? Did you leave yourself vulnerable to acquiring AIDS or STDs by your drug or alcohol use? List examples of times when you were late, missed, quit, or fired from your job. Did your alcohol or drug use allow you to get demoted, miss out on job promotions or raises in pay, or get laid off? While you were using drugs or alcohol, did your friendships and social happenings alter? Did you stray from drug users and drinkers? Did you socialize into the drug culture arena? Were you absent from your children's or partner's activities when they wanted you to be part of it? How have drugs and alcohol affected your feelings? Write down the ways that they have influenced anger, anxiety, despair, responsibility, love, hurt, and lonesomeness. What differences do you see during your sober moments versus when you are using drugs or alcohol? How are your life visions or your desires varied from what you are at this age? Do you feel distant from God? Are you going through marital unrest, or are you feeling very self-interested? Where do you stand in your spiritual beliefs? After writing those answers, if you feel able,
seek God and ask for his help in removing your drug or alcohol addiction. Ask for his help in replacing the self-destructive habits for those that build yourself up and others. A positive ending to the recovery plan for drug and alcohol use is to write the actual drug or alcohol addiction a Dear John letter. Write down that role, what role the addiction had in your life, and be sure to include the negatives and the damages it caused, then address why goodbyes are necessary. Once you do this, along with someone you feel you trust to hold accountable, read this letter out loud, then burn it, and set yourself free from the bondage of these addictions once and for all. Now, the following was wrote by Tom's mom shortly after his overdose.
I have debated quite a bit in my crazy mind about putting this out here, but I need to show the reality of addiction. I have to get through to anyone possible to hopefully reach for sobriety. See, Todd's autopsy, his death certificate, and his photos are back. The final documents that will ever have my son's name. He'll never be listed on a college application, a wedding license, a baby's birth certificate. My son's life is gone. His cause of death is heroin overdose. He got some good dope, and since he was clean for 96 days, he took too much of this fairly pure drug. His heart rate slowed. His breathing labored. My son's organs began to fail. His lungs produced a sticky matter because his body was working too hard to breathe. And after a short time, he couldn't do it anymore and his heart stopped. He had brain damage from lack of oxygen. So if he had survived, his brain damage would have made him a vegetable. My son died peacefully in the sense that he didn't struggle, but graphic in the fact that a hoarded drug did this to my boy. You see, this is a reality, people. And I truly know that just stopping doing drugs is unrealistic. It takes a lot of hard, painful work. But you can do it. You see, the first step is yours. You must ask for help. Take that step, that first one, to take your life back. It only takes your next high to be taken away forever. This is death. I'm not wanting to make anyone feel uncomfortable. No way. I am. This shouldn't feel right, and it shouldn't be uncomfortable because it's not right that a 22-year-old young man has died. And too many people still think heroin is no big deal, that they're not affected or bothered by this drug. And if you're not affected now, I promise you, at some sad day, somewhere, you will be. My son Todd died way too soon. Please don't be next. If Todd was still here, I know he'd feel the same way, and he would be trying to help everyone. You see, we need 2015 to be the year that we say, screw you, heroin, and welcome in sobriety. Please, please, share this. Tell people. It might save a life. It might have saved Todd.
My name is Todd Mount, Jr. I was born June 1st, 1991, at 11:34 p.m. I died in the early morning hours of November 7th, 2013. I was on this earth 22 years, 5 months, and 6 days. I hope the story of my short life will inspire others to reach for sobriety and to help others to be compassionate towards addicts. After all, we are your children, family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers. Everyone has their own personal struggles and demons, addict or not. Back to my beginnings. My parents were very young when they had me, but they worked very hard to support me. They loved me to pieces. I was my mom's angel, and she adored me like no other. My dad was a little uneasy with a newborn, but he warmed up to me and was a good dad. My grandpa was my buddy, my ball-playing guy, my hanging-out dude, and my TV-watching man. Now, my grandma was the best. She was my go-to lady when I was mad at my mom. She always had time for me, and I loved her tea. It was the best ever, along with her cooking. When I was 5, I became a big brother. Now, I wasn't too thrilled at first. Actually, I wanted to leave my baby sister at the hospital. But I grew to love Amanda, especially when she got older and I could wrestle with her, and I got her to scratch my back. Now, in grade school, I played basketball, volleyball, baseball, and football. I was a sweet, nice, considerate student. I graduated eighth grade from a good small Catholic school. But now in high school days is when things went down the wrong road. My high school days were met with a lot of experimenting. I had a bad attitude. I made friends with people who were a little shady. We abused the over-the-counter medicines to get high, such as Corsetin, Benadryl, and Robitussin. I smoked pot, ran away, and landed in juvenile detention a few times. I did get my GED, and I tried to straighten up, but I was driven toward drugs for some reason. At the age of 17, I started using prescription pills, really anything that someone could get or find, Percocets, Vicodin, Lortabs. Even through all my troubles, my family still supported me. They still loved me. They never gave up on me. Now, I know some addicts have sketchy childhoods, but mine was pretty normal. I had no complaints. At the age of 18, I became a heroin addict. This is where I let my mom take over my story. She doesn't know everything that happened once I became a heroin addict, and since I'm no longer physically here, I cannot explain either.
When Todd was 18, he overdosed for the first time. He overdosed on Opamas, and I immediately tried to get him help, but he refused. A few months later, Todd came to me and said, "Mom, I'm addicted to heroin, and I need help." "What?" After I picked my jaw up off the floor and had a good cry, I attempted to look for rehab with little success. We had state-run insurance, and at that time, we couldn't cover inpatient treatment, which is what Todd needed. He didn't handle outpatient meetings very well. The next few years were really a blur. He would use and then attempt to stop. He'd painfully detox at home for a few days and then give in and get high. When I would find paraphernalia, I would throw it all away. He would get more. He stole from us. He lied to us. He broke our hearts. But this wasn't Todd. This was the drugs. This was the devil himself. When Todd turned 21, I finally found a rehab that I could afford. He agreed to go, but at the last minute he bailed. By this time, Todd and his addicted girlfriend were heavily into addiction and at rock bottom. They chose to live in her car to avoid us. They decided in September 2012 that they wanted to die. They both overdosed, but thankfully, they were brought back by the Narcan shot administered by the paramedics. I tried everything to help Todd. I was alone and I was confused. I thought I failed as a mom. I was as lost as Todd was, and I didn't know where to go or what to do. And in August 2013, Todd and his girlfriend were high and wrecked her car, and they both went to jail. He got a 90-day sentence, and while he was in jail, he seemed so positive. It was wonderful to hear and see him sober and clear-minded. I really felt he had a chance, and that these 90 days were giving him a great start at reaching and maintaining sobriety. Todd was released on November 1st, 2013. I had no worries that day. I felt positive and happy, and I just knew he was going to kick this demon's ass. Todd remained sober the next 5 days, and I was over the moon excited. Each day was amazing. But early morning hours of November 7th, 2013, the devil himself reared his ugly face, and Todd succumbed. He used. And it was his last high. The high that took his life and destroyed our family. You see, Todd was my world. He was my only son. He was pure joy. He was an addict, but he was also a great human. In July 2013, in the heaviest of their addictions, my son Todd and his girlfriend brought home a sick newborn kitten. They cleaned him up and they nursed him back to health. Todd was always an animal lover, but he'd never let you know or let it show. And he named the kitten Chance. I'll never forget it. He told me, "Hey, Mom, I'm giving him his second chance at life." Now, if addicts were all worthless, then Todd wouldn't have had a heart or a care for a lost kitten. You see, we must break the stigma that covers and hovers over addicts. Todd would have never used if he knew it would have been his last time. He tried his best to stay sober. I also know my Todd needs me to share his story in hopes that he can help anyone who reaches out for help. You see, you're not hopeless, worthless, or less than anybody else. You must take your life back from that devil of addiction. You see, my son, Todd, he'll never go to college. He won't get married. I won't be able to dance with him. Todd will never become a dad. But I will always have Todd in my heart and soul, and he will always be right by my side. I hope I can make him proud that I'm his mom, that I can go as full force as I can to raise awareness, to educate others in the hopes of preventing future addicts from death, from struggle. And most importantly, I want to love every addict, every single one. Always remember, there is hope without dope. I am sending you all my love. I'm Todd's mom.
Emergency naloxone for heroin overdose. Naloxone saves lives. Timely injection of the opiate antagonist rapidly reverses respiratory suppression of heroin overdose. A major cause of death in young people, recent regulatory amendments increase significantly the extent to which naloxone can now be used to prevent opiate overdose deaths. In August 2005, New York State passed legislation establishing that physicians may lawfully prescribe naloxone for potential future opiate overdose, including the situation where it may be administered by someone else. Many people who take overdoses of heroin die even though friends or family are present. Peers often attempt to resuscitate, sometimes incorrectly, and death may occur from respiratory arrest before emergency services arrive. People who overdose and their friends and family could be given supplies of naloxone to keep at home and could be trained to give life-saving interim care. Naloxone is already approved for reversing opiate overdoses. About 10% of users distributed naloxone is used for resuscitation. Doctors are the primary group able to prescribe and administer naloxone. But many people who take overdoses die before the doctor arrives. Naloxone is already approved for use by ambulance services. Doctors can instruct patients in self-administration. However, most opiate misusers are incapacitated by the time they realize they are overdosing. Three proposals should be considered to increase the availability of naloxone. First, further training should be provided in emergency administration by non-healthcare staff. Non-healthcare staff includes police stations, prisons, rehab facilities, or remote communities could be trained in recognizing and managing overdoses and could even receive instructions by mobile phone. Second, patients or caretakers could administer naloxone to others who have heroin overdose. If a patient or caretaker trained in the use of naloxone is called to a life-threatening heroin overdose, they could potentially save a life by administering naloxone while waiting for emergency services to arrive. Although we do not currently recommend this, as it is unclear whether the boundaries of duty of care lie, we are hearing from trained patients, caretakers, and staff who have given naloxone to others and judged it to be life-saving. Third, in the future, perhaps naloxone should be available to over-the-counter in pharmacies. This would make it more available, but would require further legislation, and the public would need training. Naloxone is an extraordinarily effective drug and has been transferred to ambulance crews. The next logical step is for take-home naloxone to be given to patients at risk to prevent death in the critical minutes before a specialist arrives. Okay, so now we're going to continue on this road into prescription pain pills and opiate withdrawals and addiction. Sounds a little bit out there, huh? Well, prescription pain pill and opiate addiction is killing people in our society at an alarming rate. About 9% of the world's population has been known to misuse opiates on a regular basis. Opiate abuse is one of the most common addictions today, and it's the hardest to overcome. It brings with it a feeling of complete hopelessness and a world of depression. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health did a survey with 38,000 people. It was conducted by the U.S. Government Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services. It found out that the 38,000 people, 15% of them, had misused opiates at least once. 11% of all people in the survey who had abused prescription opiates had thoughts of suicide. 18% of those who had considered suicide went on to attempt it. If you're anything like this, you may feel you're at war with yourself and the drug and you're losing. But it doesn't have to be that way. Your life doesn't belong to pain pills. Your life belongs to you. You just haven't learned how to regain control over it. You may fear the pain associated with the withdrawals you will face once you try to recover that control. There are many things to fear, but your upcoming victory will be worth facing those fears. You must be tired of this thing having such a tight grip on you. You might not even get high anymore. So what's the point? The point is that you can't function without it. Your only point for even needing it is to feel normal, simply to get through another day. Everything you do is revolved around making sure you have it. It's a never-ending vicious cycle that just keeps going round and round and round. If you have made the decision to stop the madness and you are 100% serious about it, then you will do it. And more people do it every day. You can do it. It won't be easy. In fact, it will be one of the hardest things you will ever do. I'm not going to sugarcoat the withdrawal process, but I will try and drill in the fact that it is absolutely possible to get through it. More than that, it's absolutely possible to stay clean. Is a new life worth the pain you will have to endure? I don't know. You tell me. You may have forgotten how it feels to be completely free of the daily struggles of addiction. You won't know how worth it really is until you experience the freedom again for yourself. But it must be better than what you're going through right now. You need to make that decision in order for this to work. You need to know without a doubt that a drug-free life is what you truly want for yourself. I am by no means a medical professional, and I do not claim to be. But I will give you some ideas that you may want to try that could very well help you in this battle and overcoming this deadly addiction and the withdrawals. I will try to give you a home detox plan and also include a good tapering method and insight on methadone and Suboxone that I have researched online should you choose to take that route. I will list plenty of prescription and natural supplements that will help ease the pain during detox. And last but not least, I will give you the tools you need for success and to stay clean, but you are the one who needs to be willing to do the work. I want you to get as much as possible out of what I have to say in the short period that I have here to share with you. So let's get started. Many of the success stories of beating opiate addiction begin with two things happening. Most times it requires both. They hit rock bottom. Two, they had an emotional or spiritual awakening. Unfortunately, for many people who hit rock bottom, they still don't stop. They continue struggling with their addiction, sometimes for years, until their own awakening finally graces them. Whether you're religious or not, this awakening may be extremely important for your success. If you're not religious, look for it anyway. The world will bring it to you. Expect it. If you're searching for it and want it, it will happen. If you are religious and haven't had your awakening yet, don't pray for God to help you quit drugs. Instead, ask Him to bring you your awakening. If you quit taking drugs without it, chances are it won't last long, and it will be all for nothing. You need to try to quit every time you have one of these eye-opening experiences. Every big moment of clarity you have is not the magical one. You may have to quit again and again. If you attempt to quit taking opiates every time you have one of these eye-opening experiences, you're bound to make it happen and never look back at your old life of addiction again. Once you feel that you are ready to make the decision to stop taking pain pills, there is a certain way that you need to set your frame of mind. You need to know 110% that you can't go on living the way that you have been. If you can still find reasons to continue taking the drug, then you're not ready to quit. If you can't picture your life without them, then you're not ready to quit. See your future as good, clean, and happy. Imagine it and want it without excuses to use. Make a plan. Set a date that you're going to quit or begin the process of quitting. Get excited about this event coming up. Pump yourself up about it as much as you can. This is a new beginning for you and are looking forward to. You can see not this time in your life as something to dread. I can't stress enough. If you're dreading the day your set date rolls around on the calendar, then you're not going to have a harder time quitting, but chances of your success going to be very slim. The happiness you feel for your outcome should be stronger than the fears you feel. Constantly focus on your brighter days ahead, not the quitting process. No, of course it won't be easy. It will be hard, very hard. You will go through some pain. That's okay, isn't it? Again, ask yourself this question. Will my new life of freedom be worth the short-term pain I will have to endure? Will it? If your answer is conflicted, then you still have some serious thinking to do. If your answer is yes, then you need to use that as a form of excitement. The more you imagine the way you want your life to be, the easier it will be to be happy about what you're about to do. What you want to do is imagine it and soak in the fact that you are not there yet. You need to visualize your future and be happy that you are finally on your way there. Once you're ready, you're going to need support. You're going to need to tell people of your plan. This should not be your little kept secret. If your addiction has been a secret, then you need to tell someone about it. The reason you need to tell someone about it is not because you need to tell them to know you have been taking painkillers just to get through each day. It's not because you need to be accountable for what you've been up to. It's because you need to be accountable for what you're planning to do. You need to let as many people know you can in your venture of quitting as possible. The more who know of your plan, the more ashamed and embarrassed you will feel if it fails. That's exactly what you want. The more embarrassed you might be of failure, the less likely the chances of failure. Most people will be happier that you are quitting than they will be upset that you over what you have been doing. You know who you can trust and who you can't. You know which people will be most helpful to you. Tell the right people as many of those who trusted friends as you can. If you don't want to tell people, then there's another question to ask yourself. What's the real reason I don't want to tell people to know? Is it because you're embarrassed or in shame? Or is it because somewhere in the back of your mind that you're hoping that it does fail so that you can go right back to using? To some, this question may sound ridiculous, but to many, it's an honest question that really needs to be answered. Many people want to quit, but they are so afraid of the unknown that they will subconsciously sabotage their own success. They can't see the wonderful life-changing possibilities that lay before them. Are you one of those people? If so, the more you recognize this fact, the easier it will be to get over these negative thoughts. There's a few ways to go about this. You can quit cold turkey, you can taper off the meds, then there's Suboxone and methadone. Now, I'll discuss these two options in a bit, but for now, let's focus on the first two. Now, if you're a heavy user, then tapering off the meds is much less scarier, and the withdrawals are easier to get through. However, it's still hard to do this way, and even though the withdrawals are not as severe, they will last longer. When you go cold turkey, the withdrawals can be very brutal. Well, to be honest, they can be very, very brutal. How is your pain and sickness threshold? If you're one of those people who get sick and take it well, then maybe going cold turkey is right for you. You would detox much quicker and be done and ready to begin your new life. Or are you one of those people who whine and moan and cry when you get sick? Now, if that's the case, then tapering off might be the way to go. You need to decide which is right for you. And let me remind you that these recommendations are not set in stone. They are merely just suggestions, and only that I have researched online, which any of y'all can do also. You're the only one who can make the decision on what is right for you. Okay, so now you're getting ready for the big day. There are several things you're going to need to do. Your detox can take anywhere from 5 to 8 days, give or take a day or two. Now, trust me, you're not going to want to do anything but lay around your house most of the time. So taking time off from work in advance is a smart thing to do. If you don't, you can expect a lot of call-in sick days ahead of you. It's better to be prepared, and this will be one less worry. Now, if you made the decision to taper off the drug, then you might not have to take time off depending on how quick and extreme your taper is. If you're going to taper off slowly, you should be okay. But if you plan on tapering off quickly, let's say in about a week, then you might need to take the time off as well. Also tell your doctor about your plan. Many people won't do this either because they want to ensure that they can still be able to get their meds later if plans change. If this is the case, then again, you need to take a very serious look at exactly how serious you are about quitting. You can use your doctor's help.
He will probably recommend and help with a taper plan. If this isn't what you want, then ask him to give you some type of muscle relaxer or anxiety medication. These meds won't make it all better or make the pain go away, but they will make it easier to get through the next week. I'd suggest using these meds, whether going cold turkey or tapering off. Either way you decide to do this, it's not going to be easy. Some would say that using these meds isn't a good idea because of the chance of forming a new addiction. If you go about it the right way, you will lower your chances of this happening. This is where your friends and family come in. You need to find a really close friend or relative who will be willing to assist you, preferably a friend who will be able to stay with you for a while during your detox, especially if you have children at home. Hang on. If this isn't possible, you need to at least be able to get in touch with this person every single day while detoxing. When you get the meds from your doctor, give them to your new assistant. You would decide on a certain amount of meds per day, and your friend would give you exactly that dose and no more. Try this out for a day, and if you need to up the dose and the amount staying within the prescription limits, then by all means, up the dose. Make sure this is understood by your friend before you give up the meds for them to hold. Your doctor will have a better insight on how much meds you should take, but sometimes doctors underestimate the severity of the withdrawals and give you as little as possible. But remember, some is better than none. Now, there's a chance your doctor may not be comfortable giving you a muscle relaxer. Now, if not, ask him about a pill called gabapentin, okay? It's spelled G-A-B-A-P-E-N-T-I-N. Now, this is a nerve medication that's used for epilepsy and nerve pain. When the meth lab I was operating blew up and severely burned me, this is what I was prescribed, as I had severe nerve damage and pain, and it actually works quite well. Little did I know at the time, until I further researched it online, that it works wonders for opiate withdrawals also. Although there has been a very small number of people who have become addicted to it, it's very, very rare, and it doesn't give a euphoric feeling associated with opiates. It's not a narcotic, and your doctor will be happy, as above, to prescribe this to you. Gabapentin has been known to sometimes cure your withdrawals almost completely. This could be very well a miracle drug that all painkiller addicts have been searching for. If the doctor does agree to this, give them a try for a few days before your actual quit date. See if it works before you take time off from work. You may not even need to take time off then. Now, getting back to your detox, in case the gabapentin doesn't work for you as well as it does for others, or you just simply can't get your hands on it, set your home up so it's as comfortable as possible. Try and make sure that it's clean when you begin your detox. Make one trip to the grocery store and stock up on canned goods and frozen foods. You may also want to get some fresh fruit and vegetables that you can eat raw as well. Make sure you get plenty of things you can whip up fast. You won't be very hungry, but you're still going to have to eat. The more food you have in your home, the less likely you are to eat. Like I said before, once the detox starts, you're not going to want to do much. Stock up on a lot of movies. Comedies are always good for times like this because they are better at distracting you. Forget books, even if you are a reader. Chances are that you're not going to be able to pay much attention anyway, let alone concentrate on a book. This all sounds scary, I know, but remember, you're getting ready for your new beginning. It's all going to be very well worth it. Okay, so let's go over some of the symptoms you should expect while going through withdrawals. It's mostly going to feel like flu-like symptoms, but not just like any flu. It's going to feel like the worst flu you have ever had. Here's what you should expect. Muscle and joint aches, insomnia, nightmares, restless legs, diarrhea, hot and cold sweats, the feeling of creepy crawlies under your skin, the shakes, exhaustion, depression, anxiety, loss of hunger, rapid heartbeat, watering eyes and nose, goosebumps, sudden muscle jerks, back pain, nausea, and vomiting. Okay, now make sure that you have stocked up on plenty of Advil, ibuprofen, or Aleve. Forget Tylenol. You probably already had enough of that already anyway. Sleeping pills probably won't work, but you never know. Even if you don't sleep, the sleeping pills will at least relax your body a bit more. So at least your body will get a little bit of rest. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about over-the-counter sleep aids here. Passion flower is an herb that is known to help with anxiety and insomnia. It comes in capsules and powder in tea bags. Calcium magnesium is also a product known to help in aiding sleep. You'll smell like a medicine cabinet, but Aspie cream can help with your body aches and joint pain. Also pick up some bananas. They're loaded with potassium, which will also help with your joint pain. Orange juice with calcium will also help. Fish oil, omega-3, helps with the restless legs, pain, and inflammation. You may experience the runs while your body is cleaning itself out. Make sure you have plenty of Imodium AD on hand. After detoxing, it's very easy to catch a bug, so take plenty of vitamin C. Multivitamins should be used daily. You may be eating a lot of frozen food, so you need to get your vitamins somewhere. Peppermint candy is good to have on hand also to help with the nausea. Okay, so now the big question is, how long should I expect the withdrawals to last? Now, that varies for everyone depending on what kind of medication you were taking, how much and how long. And for the more severe addictions, you should expect to feel really sick for about 7 days, but you will still feel symptoms for several days past that. After about 2 weeks, you should start to feel somewhat normal, although you won't feel fully normal for quite some time if you've been addicted for long. That could take up to a couple months or longer. Some people who have been using for years don't feel normal again for at least a year. This doesn't mean that it's unbearable for a year. This simply means that for a while you won't feel like you did before you started using. After 2 weeks, it's completely livable. You still feel different, but it gets better. Have patience. You're going to need it. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about over-the-counter herbal detoxes. These are always an option, and they can help you get over the period faster. But if you're a moderate or heavy user, I advise against it. Many people who aren't even on any type of drug medication have a hard time with detoxes. Detoxes have been known to give people the same effects as withdrawal symptoms. This is because on a detox, your body is going through actual withdrawals. If you're already addicted, detoxing, your body will be going through enough during your week of detox. Use everything that you can to help your symptoms. Make sure you stay completely hydrated and get healthy. This is very important. You're going to feel much better if you drink a lot of water. Same goes for your full stomach. You're not going to want to cook. That's why I suggested fresh fruits and vegetables. If you're having a really hard time eating, make sure you're taking your vitamins. Take over-the-counter pain meds during the day, using heating blankets and pads to keep yourself comfortable, and watch a lot of movies. Now, all of the things I have mentioned here can definitely help ease your withdrawals, but none of them would take them away. Hope, but don't expect a miracle. For heavy users, the withdrawal period can sometimes be too much to bear without medical help. If you've been detoxing and find yourself to be one of these people, go to the emergency room. Detoxing off these drugs can be very dangerous. Deaths have been reported from heart attacks, seizures, strokes, and vomiting during withdrawals. Doctors are there to help you. Let them. You don't want to get hurt during this process. That wouldn't be a very good way to start your new life. Earlier, I had said we would talk about the use of Suboxone and Methadone. Although Suboxone and Methadone are both used to treat opiate addiction, they are completely different. Methadone is much stronger than Suboxone because it's a full opiate and agonist, where Suboxone is only a partial one. Because methadone is so strong, it's not typically used for patients with less severe addictions. When this drug is given to someone with a light, moderate addiction, it can come with a severe side effect because methadone is so much stronger than the amount of opiates they were already taking. Methadone is more addictive than Suboxone because it doesn't have a ceiling on its high effect. The more you take, the higher you get. There is a limit on how high you can get with Suboxone. No matter how much you take of it, that's why withdrawals from this drug are much easier to handle than methadone and less addictive. Because Suboxone is a mellower substitute for opiates, it's a drug that can be prescribed and then brought home. When treated with methadone, you must visit a clinic in order to receive your daily dose because of the high risk of overdose. However, further along into your treatment, most methadone clinics will allow take-home doses. Suboxone withdrawals are much easier to handle than the methadone. Now, I personally haven't taken either, and I'm very glad that I haven't had to. I've noticed that many people who are on methadone are increasing their doses lowering them. Methadone is an addiction that is even harder to break than what might be doing right now. Just know if you choose this route, you may not come off of it for years. Although I believe methadone is not a good choice, that doesn't mean it's not right for everyone. Because for some people, it may be the only hope for recovery from opiates. I know that this has only begun to touch the surface on the topic, but unfortunately, as I have stated, because of the amount of time I have to try to give you as much information as possible, I hope that I've shared with you tonight has been some help and that you succeed in overcoming the battle of this addiction. And we'd also like to let you know that our sponsors, The Shores, are very qualified and able to help you with any and all concerns you may have concerning proper treatment or even interventions. At the bottom of the post, you will find a link to their website, and it will take you directly to them. I also want to thank my co-host, Sarah Beth, for her outstanding performance tonight as the mother of Todd, and would like to remind everyone that our show... Hold on one second, please.
Father God, I just want to thank you this evening for the opportunity and the blessing to be able to be with your people tonight. Lord God, I want to take this time to thank Todd's mother for her courage, her faith in you, her endearing spirit. Lord God, I just want to praise your holy name that she had the boldness of faith to reach out and share these words. Father, you know your plans are for the good as we do. And Lord God, in this moment, I ask that you anoint, bless, and protect all the parents who have addicted children. Father God, I ask that you let them rest in your arms. Just assure them, Lord, that their prayers are heard, that they're contending for their loved ones, all of our loved ones with addiction, that our prayers raise up to the most heavenly and holy of places, that you are not a God that does not know, does not hear, does not see, and that you have plans, purposes, and designs for all things that are for the good of your kingdom. Lord God, I ask tonight that all of those out there, wherever they may be, who struggle with heroin, with the needle, with opiates, with drugs, Father God, that all the wounds in their souls that they run to find peace in the drugs that the enemy is using as a plan to stop God's people from stepping into their calling and feel the love of Christ. In this moment, Lord God, I ask by the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit that the chains of addiction come off your people, that they fall to the ground wherever they are, that the drugs they seek to use no longer have the hold and bind on them that they do. Lord God, those that have been touched by the message here tonight, ask that you speak into their lives the breath of life, Father God, that not one should go another day under the enemy's attack. Lord God, you are stronger than all things. You have created all things. I praise and worship you this evening that the chains of addiction are cast down in the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper, that you will raise up more and more souls, Father God, that do not look at addicts with sickness and judgment. Lord God, that you will raise up addicts who no longer use, no longer drink, and that they will be the people ministering to the people that no one else will reach. Father God, we praise you for your glorious name, for your honor and your glory, for your kingdom, that not one should go without knowing the love of God. We praise you, Lord, for tonight's message. We are honored and humbled to be your servants. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Silence. In restless dreams I walked alone.
to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served and when mercy. praising my Savior all the days.